Father, I ask that this sermon will lift the hearts of everyone who hears it. Let those who may be feeling downcast and discouraged be strengthened by your good news. Help us to see the splendor of your glory. Amen. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent 72 of his followers to go and preach the good news to the lost. Jesus gave them spiritual authority to do so. When they came back, they were extremely excited because when they did what Jesus told them to do, they experienced spiritual success. People were healed. People were set free from demonic activity, and this obviously pleased the followers of Christ. Who gets excited when someone gets healed? I do. I got excited when my dad got healed of a bung knee this year. It was great. There's been other healings, actually, that have been happening in this place over the last couple of months, and it's really exciting. We're always hearing about God answering prayer, aren't we? All the time. So we're excited most of the time we pray, aren't we? It's never hard for us to pray because we always have good news to precede the prayer. But this is what Jesus said to them when they returned home from their successful mission. He said in Luke 10, verses 18 to 20, "Yes, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy." That's a given. "Yes, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy." Over all the power of the enemy. "But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you." They're going to do that. They have to, because I've given you the power over the enemy. "Rather, rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." Rejoice, be glad, because your names are registered in heaven. As a minister of this church, there are times when I speak about what God has done in our lives in the past, how he chose us. You know, if you're here this morning, you're here because he chose you. He convicted us, saved us, cleansed us, dealt with the rubbish and wiped the slate clean. This is our past. Hallelujah! This is our history, and for this we will eternally rejoice. There are also many times when I talk about what God is doing now. It is a fact that as Christians, we are living in a fallen world where there are trials and tribulations. We are open to experience hurts because of the evil influence upon this world and because of our own bias to sin, to do the wrong thing. But God hasn't left us alone. He's equipped us and given us his Holy Spirit, who intercedes on our behalf and empowers to do more, to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. This is what God is doing right now in my life. That's why I'm here. This very present time in our life, he is doing this. And for this reason, we will eternally rejoice. But not only do we have the past and present to rejoice about, but there is so much more. The best is yet to come. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 that he personally experienced a full-on vision of heaven. It says he was caught up to heaven. It was as if he was in heaven. And in heaven, he heard inexpressible things, things that he knew he was not permitted to tell anyone. God showed him and him alone, and it was for him. Paul heard and saw stuff that was absolutely amazing. In fact, it was so amazing, I believe, that the ecstasy of the whole experience empowered him to keep on running the race despite the severe persecution that he was experiencing. This morning, we're going to take time out to talk about our future. Not our past, not our present, but our future. We're going to view heaven. Our time here on earth is not even a drop in the ocean of eternity. And yet often we avoid the topic of heaven as if it's not relevant to our situation. But it is appropriate for us to talk and think about heaven. If it wasn't, Jesus wouldn't have bothered to mention it. This morning, I want to encourage you, for those times when you feel the struggle is overwhelming. Who has ever had those times? For those times when you feel like the heavens are made of brass and your feelings tell you your prayers are not getting through. That's your feelings, because they are getting through. The truth is, we as Christians have an eternal hope in something that is going to be very, very, very good. What did Paul say in Romans 8, verses 18? He said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." If anyone knew about suffering, the Apostle Paul sure did. He'd been flogged and exposed to death over and over again. Anyone have that testimony here? But he'd seen heaven and realized that any amount of pain here on earth was worth the joy of living in eternity with Jesus. Can you remember what the first martyr in the New Testament saw? What was his name? Stephen. As he was dying, what did he see? God somehow opened up a doorway so he could see heaven. And as he saw heaven, he then had the ability to say, "God, forgive them for what they're doing." It's like, this is nothing. I'm going there. Heaven is going to be so good. Heaven is going to be far better than the best this world has to offer. Turn with me to what Jesus said about it. John 14, verses 1 to 4. And I've read this over a number of dying people in my time as a minister. John 14, verses 1 to 4. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Jesus is saying to his loved ones, don't worry about anything here on earth. Stop your worrying, because I'm preparing a place for you. I believe with our little human brains, we have a tendency to underestimate the wonder of what Jesus has gone on ahead to prepare for us. And he's been preparing for a long, long, long time, hasn't he? Our wildest speculation of how good it's going to be doesn't come near to the reality of just how fabulous heaven will be. The Bible feeds us definite hints about some of the features we can expect when our journey here on earth has ended. And today, I'm going to outline some of those exciting features of heaven. But just before I do, it is important to remind ourselves that heaven is God's native environment. Heaven is his natural abode. Heaven is his home, which he wants to share with us. You got that? Can you imagine living in a house with God? Some of you will say, well, actually, I do. Yes, I do. But heaven is different. And it is because he is in heaven that heaven is like it is. It is his presence and his person which governs the conditions that are present there. You know how sometimes a mountain has its own climate? Have you heard of that? A mountain can have its own weather. Well, the weather in heaven is totally governed by the mountain of God. God himself. Well, grip your seats, folks, because I'm about to tell you 20 features that you need to know concerning heaven, all of which are Bible-based. These are not speculations. These features are guaranteed. Are you ready? And I know when you heard the number 20, you thought, oh no, that's a lot of points. But these are very quick points, and you're happy I'm doing points, aren't you, Ben? He loves point sermons. Okay. And he does. I gave him a point sermon for the wedding, didn't I? And he's so serious about it. Him and Marinda came up to me a couple of months later and said, we can't remember the fourth out of the 5 points. And for a minute there, I had to stand there thinking, now what was that point? But we got it, didn't we? Okay, so 20 points. Here we go. Firstly, in heaven, we are set free from the assaults of our arch enemy, Satan. Yay! In heaven, we will no longer have to contend with the subtle insinuations and dark deceptions which the devil devises. He will not be there to tempt us or deceive us. Can you imagine that? Our doubting days are done. Our temptations are past. What a relief! He will not be whispering to us anymore, has God said. Number two. See how quick that was? And it was quite exciting, wasn't it? Okay, I'll keep it that at that level, all right? Number two. In heaven, we will be set free from tears of anguish, despair, and frustration. Life often carries with it more pain than pleasure. But Revelation 21 verse 4 says, Jesus shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be mourning or crying or pain. No tissues for mourning will be needed in heaven. Only maybe belly ache laughing. Number three. In heaven, there'll be no more death. Because of the power of our Father's eternal presence and because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, death cannot exist. There'll be no grieving, no more pain of separation if there are animals there, which I think there will be. They will live forever too. Isaiah 65 verse 25 talks about animals in heaven. I kind of think my buddy Lulu and Kalina are waiting for me. Who knows? But there's no death. No death of animals, no death of pets, no death of people. Number four, in heaven we shall enjoy total deliverance from the sorrow that comes from regrets and remorse. We all, even as Christians, make grievous errors. Who's made a grievous error before now? E.g., entertaining wrong attitudes, speaking unkind words, harboring selfish motives, and indulging in wrongful acts. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Thanks, Pastor John. We're very honest here today. We all make mistakes. Horrible mistakes. But in heaven, we won't make any mistakes. We'll be in a dimension of deep delight, free from the guilt and regret of misdeeds. In heaven, no regrets, no remorse. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Can you grasp it? Number five, the Apostle John assures us that in heaven, there will be no more crying in the way that our hearts cry out for God on earth. For in heaven, our soul has at last come home to find our Father waiting for us with open arms. We've all been through times when it seems as though the heavens were as brass and God can't hear us. Well, that will not be the case in heaven. We won't have to shout for him if we're sitting on his knee, will we? I've got a little grandson, Ezekiel. Often he's yelling at me and he's right next to me. And I go, Ezekiel, I'm here. And you're yelling in my ear. Do you get that, Sharon? Yeah, really. In heaven, we're going to be right where God is all the time. No yelling. And I love our prayer meetings because we don't need to yell in our prayer meetings because we know Jesus is there. But in heaven, we just know we'll see his glory. Hallelujah. Number six, in heaven, we will be totally delivered from pain. Physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, and kiddie pain. Mums. No more pain for you or for anybody else. Who hurts when somebody else is hurting? That's painful too. Who hurts when they watch stuff on telly and people are hurting? It hurts. No, that's all gone in heaven. Number seven, in heaven, there will be a delightful, relaxed freedom between all God's people. There will be no formal barriers or doctrinal divisions. Hallelujah! Among our Father's children will flow the warmth and love and understanding which only his divine presence can produce. We will be in harmony. Harmony. We will be as one. There will be perfect unity. Number eight, in heaven, we will not be bound by time. Isn't that good, Elise? That's really going to suit you. And you, Daniel. Hallelujah. On earth, we are tied to time. We have deadlines to meet and appointments to keep at specific times. We set schedules, plan programs, and organize all our lives around the tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. In heaven, gone will be the sense of desperate or urgency or being crowded by the calendar, of being threatened by the tyranny of time. In its place will be the serene peace of a quiet and unhurried life, free from the rat race, free from the fret and strain of the rat race. That sounds good, doesn't it? Number nine, in heaven, there won't be any night. It's going to be bright all the time. Now, I know some of you older ones are going to get concerned about this because I know you grow to love it more and more as you get older. With our new spiritual physical bodies, the need for sleep and restoration will no longer be a factor. We will constantly feel invigorated. We won't need coffee in the morning. Hallelujah! We won't need that chocolate to give us a lift. A slice of heaven is all it takes to invigorate us, but I do feel chocolate will be in heaven. Okay. Number two, you know, eating. We will be eating because Jesus ate when he was resurrected. So eating's a good thing, but we won't need to go to Weight Watchers. Hallelujah! Number 10, in heaven, we shall enter total and complete enlightenment. All misunderstandings and clouds of darkness, which so often comes between human beings and husbands and wives, will be dispersed forever. Most of us don't understand each other. Most of us don't understand our Father and his dealings with us. And we certainly don't understand our own complex selves. Who finds it tricky to understand yourself sometimes? Do you sometimes go, why do I do that? Why does that upset me? But one day, all of this will change. We will be enlightened. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I will go, oh, is that why I did that? Gee, that was stupid. Number 11, in heaven, this is good, the attractions of the world system will no longer be present and drag us down. there'll be nothing to contaminate our thoughts or mar our moral life. Their impact will be nil. You won't have to look at filthy advertising. All the music we listen to will be heavenly music. It will still be really cool, though. There'll be no trashy websites, commercials, books or magazines to catch our eyes. No Facebook in heaven. Hallelujah! Number 12, in heaven, there will be no deceit, falsehood, lies or dishonesty. That's good, isn't it? Hallelujah! We will be in the presence of the one who sees right through us. We can let down the front, take off the mask, and just be ourselves, both before God and before one another. The tension of play acting will be past. 13. In heaven, we will be released from sin and its consequences. We will walk freely in the paths of righteousness. We won't suffer the consequences of any sin either. Life is full of suffering from previous sinful acts. Even though we did these acts before we got saved, there are consequences to sinful action which we must bear. In heaven, we'll be released from these consequences. Now listen up. The final seven glorious features of heaven that I'm going to speak about are going to be hard for us humans to grasp with our limited understanding. But let's just try for a couple of minutes. Number 14, in heaven, there is a dimension of satisfaction and tranquility that is not known on earth. How does the song go? I can't get no satisfaction. Well, let me tell you that in heaven, you can and will. The very nature and unchanging character of our Father ensures that our satisfaction shall be complete and continuous. Number 15, heaven offers life that has abundant quality. There will be absolute love, absolute honesty, absolute goodwill, and absolute righteousness. The ever-present healing influence of God's own presence will be the balm that mends our broken spirits and heals our injured hearts to make our lives be of the highest quality. Can you imagine the highest quality of life? Oh, number 16, in heaven, and this is really, really good for the days that we're living in right now, there will be absolute justice and fairness. This is obviously so because God's throne is there, and where he rules, justice and righteousness reigns. There will be no discrimination, unfairness, scheming, conniving, and the smooth tactics and fast talk that takes innocent people's unawares. No con men in heaven. Hallelujah! Number 17, we're quickly getting there now. In heaven, all the work that we do will have special significance and deep meaning, for it will be divine. We will be active co-workers with God. Hallelujah. We're not going to sit doing nothing, by the way. We're going to be doing fun stuff. Number 18. In heaven, we will... Did you want to do nothing, Vicky? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Fishing. Okay. Yeah, fishing. Oh, yeah. Why not? Why not? Okay. In heaven, we will have exquisite fellowship. There we shall see Jesus' face. We will see him face to face. The joy of such an encounter will be tremendous. Our Father will preside over his adoring children, and we in turn will be doubly attracted and drawn together in his presence and power of his own gracious person. Wow. Number 19. in heaven, there will be complete illumination of every aspect of life. No longer will there be any doubts, misgivings, or apprehension of any sort. It will be a realm where all will be bright and right. We will not be questioning any motives because we are aware of the purity that only exists in heaven. Number 20. How many did I say there were?
20.
Have you remembered these, Ben? Okay. Well, you must remember this last one, okay, because this is really good. Finally, heaven is the realm of victory. It is the place of rest at last. There will be no more battles with Satan, self, and sin. It is a place where the warrior of the Lord has come into his inheritance, and we shall reign forever and ever and ever with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! Amen. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is just a little teensy-weensy glimpse of what we have to look forward to. He's preparing a place because he loves me. And I will rejoice because my name is registered in heaven. So, Christians, when you're finding it hard, when the concerns of the world are pressing in on you, when you feel like the price of homes in Western Australia has hit the roof and you can't afford your mortgage or rent, be of good cheer. Don't worry. He's preparing for you a fantastic home in heaven, mortgage free. Yoo-hoo! It's good, isn't it? What do you reckon, Belinda? Pretty cool, yeah. Which white ants can't eat away, and no bushfire, earthquake, tornado, or tsunami will ever destroy. We are so blessed. We're blessed if our names are registered. If is your name registered? If you're not on the register, you don't get to go. God will go, no, can't come in. Do you know the great creator of heaven and earth? The only way you can get to know the creator of heaven is to believe in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent by God to die for your wrongdoing, so that if you believe and receive his forgiveness, you will go to heaven. Let me encourage you to register today. Don't miss out. No one knows what tomorrow holds but God himself. You need to register. You need to give your heart to him. You need to get right with Jesus. Would you please all bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm not going to take long over this, but I want to ask you again. Is there anyone here who would like to register for heaven who hasn't already? Who would like to receive Jesus as their Saviour? Now is the time. I want to pray for you. If this sermon is speaking to you, then please put up your hand so I can pray for you and your registration. Is there anybody here that would like me to pray for you? Anybody? Anybody at all? Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody in this place. I thank you that there are so many in this place that are going to heaven, and I'm going to live eternally with them. But Lord, for those who haven't yet given their heart to you, that haven't registered their name in heaven, I pray that this day you will strongly convict them to do so. Make them realize that they need to know you, Jesus, that they need to be forgiven by you, Jesus, that they need to receive you as their personal friend. And today, this is you inviting them to become your personal friend. So, Father, just continue this message in their hearts as they leave this place. I pray that you'll make it very, very difficult for them not to receive you as Lord and Saviour. Amen. We're going to partake in communion right now.